My name is Naomi Porter. I am 13 years old. Today is July 2nd, 2018, and I am speaking with Jean Shriver. We are recording this interview in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. First question, tell me a little bit about your childhood.
A lot of it was formed by World War II. When I was in grade school, World War II was going on. And we were intensely patriotic. We had a little victory garden at my school and at home. I came home and told my mother, I have to have a bigger allowance. I think I got a quarter or something. And she said, why? And I said, because we have to buy a bomb. My mother said, I don't think the fourth grade has to buy a bomb. I said, oh, yes, they do. They said you bring your money every week, and when you get enough stamps, you get a bomb. Well, what it is a war bond. We put in a dime a week or something, and we got war stamps and put them in a little book. And then when you got enough, I think it was $18 or something. It was a war bond, but I hadn't understood. Anyhow, I really wanted to buy a bomb.
It's pretty funny.
And we were all very, to me, that's the only good war that I know of. After that, all the wars didn't have to be. But that one I thought had to be. And as I say, we were intensely patriotic. My brother was a painter, and he painted a face of Hitler on the bottom of the cellar stairs. And he wrote, "Hit Hitler," and then we took a tire. And I don't know what we thought we were doing, but we did that. And I think you asked at some point, what was different about my childhood, maybe? Okay, and I thought about that. What was different was freedom. Freedom. Nobody asked where, as long as we got home by dinner time, nobody asked, nobody cared where we were. We walked everywhere, again because of the war, or bicycled. There was very little gas. The only time they would drive me to school was when I had a cello lesson. Nobody could ask a kid to walk a mile and a half with their cello. So,
childhood.
Yeah, childhood. Well, okay, so the war was with freedom. For instance, I started babysitting at about 12, and I would walk to the place. It was in my neighborhood. And half the time I would tell the father, I can walk home, which I could, and did half the time. And, I don't know. My mother wasn't that interested in what we did. If you started to say, there's this girl in my class and she's really weird, my mother would say, not of general interest. And it was really hard to find a topic at the dinner table that was of general interest. But anyhow, the freedom part was good.
Yeah.
When I was about 12, I lived in Princeton, New Jersey, and we took things back to the delicatessen, must have been Coke bottles and stuff, and got money back. And with that, we bought a sandwich and a drink, and we bicycled to Pennsylvania. Only it started to get dark, so we called my mother and asked if she could come and pick us and our bikes up because we were across the river in Pennsylvania. But still, you know, it was fun. It was fun to live like that. So what else? The war, that. I went to public school for 6 years, and then I went to the girls' school, and that was a big change. And we'll get to that maybe later. But the girls' school was a very good school. I never had to work again. I didn't have to work when I went to boarding school. I went to boarding school at 14, I think, for 3 years. But I didn't have to work because the private school had been so good. And even in college, I didn't learn anything more in French or Latin because I'd already learned it at Miss Fine's school, which doesn't exist anymore, but it was a good school. All right, what do you want?
Okay, can you tell me about one of the most difficult times in your life?
Yeah. We were living in this house in Princeton. My brother is 3 years to the day younger than I. And it was my mom, my dad, my brother, and me. And then my aunt died in childbirth, and she left an infant son and a 2-year-old girl. And her husband was more or less useless. And so my mother took the children. And then came World War II, and my dad joined the Navy. So my mother, who wasn't that good at raising children. I mean, she wasn't bad, but 4 kids and babies, yeah. She didn't know what to do. So she hired people to look after us, and that was really dreary.
I bet.
But I was just writing about her, and the good thing was when all the little children got put to bed, she would read to me. And so we read Kipling's Jungle Book, Gesso's stories. We read Barry's Peter Pan, all that stuff. And it was really nice. It was the two of us. But the rest of the time, it was hard. You know, it wasn't a good time. But we all recovered.
Cool. Can you tell me about the most important lessons you've learned in your life?
That's such a big one. I think just keep on going. Important lessons. I don't know. I don't look at life as a lesson thing. Somehow I can't. Not sure what the answer to that one is.
Okay.
Maybe it'll come out in the other questions.
Yes, maybe. What are you proudest of professionally or personally in your life?
Well, personally, I guess I would say I'm proudest of my 3 kids. Your grandmother taught my oldest child, I think in 4th grade. He was very fond of her. They're independent, they're bright, they're loving, they're good people. There's 2 boys and a girl, and so I'm proudest of that. Professionally, I was a good librarian for a while, and I've written 2 books for young people, and I'm still writing short things for the paper and stuff. That's it. Short is the best I can do these days, but at least I'm still writing.
Yeah. What regrets do you have in your life, if any?
Oh, yeah. I regret that things I learned later about being inclusive, I guess that's in your lesson thing, being inclusive, not worrying about being in the in-group or this or that. I wish I had known them when I was a teenager, that it really doesn't matter and it's not important and you are who you are and you might as well just include everybody around you, except really bad people, and just let them be who they are. You don't have to make the rules.
Okay. What important lessons has your religion, Christianity, taught you, and how has it shaped your life?
Well, I think the do unto others rule and the, inclusiveness, kindness, and I guess it shaped my life. That's just not the words I'd use, but I've gone to St. Peter's for years and years and years and always enjoyed going here. And I was raised Episcopalian, I was raised with the Bible, and also I knew some of that to begin with. And I guess it shapes your life, you know, without being able to put a name to it exactly.
Yeah. How has St. Peter's been a meaningful place for you?
Very much so, very much so. And I've met people here that I care about a lot. And the thing about St. Peter's is it opens doors for you. I've done almost everything at St. Peter's. I taught Sunday school. I've been an elder. I've been a deacon 3 times. I've driven for Shaw. I worked for like 5 or 6 years as a volunteer book reviewer at 15th Street School. Well, many, many outreach things. And my husband did things that, you know, he was on the board of Rainbow Shelter, and so I joined into that a little bit and so on. And that St. Peter's, I was in an Amnesty International group that we had at one point, and we actually freed, well, you never say you freed, but our Russian prisoner got free and actually came to a party at our house. It was just, you know, what we had been writing and writing and writing. And for years, I got a little Christmas card from our Turkish prisoner, and he never put his address. I don't think he wanted us to answer him, but he obviously had been freed, and he was grateful, and he would send a little...
That's nice.
Christmas card. It was nice. And I wish I thought Amnesty could do the same now. I think the world situation is even trickier. But that was a big thrill.
Yeah. What changes do you see for kids growing up now in contrast from your childhood?
Well, parent involvement's a big thing. And actually, my children wandered free in Lenata Bay. They had to be home by 5 or call, but, you know, that was it. And when they went to college and I said, do you want any help? They said, no, please don't look at my essay. So they all sent them off and they all got into college. So, you know, it's just like, please, Mom. Yeah. But I see that as a big difference, and I think it can be really good in some ways. And in other ways... I have a feeling you're pretty independent.
Yeah.
But, you know, for some kids, well, even my grandchildren who are now adults, but I think they depend on their mother too much, you know. In fact, I said last birthday, I said, I don't want a card from your mother that you all sign. I want you all to get me a card yourself. I mean, they're adults.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that's it.
And then can you tell me about a memorable story or experience that you have?
A memorable story. Going back to childhood or any old time?
Any old time.
Okay, stop it for a minute okay. So I can think. When I was a girl in Princeton, we didn't know it was unusual, but it was. I lived across the street from Einstein. And at the next corner was my best friend, and her father is a pretty well-known American composer. He worked for the university. So on Princeton's, I don't know, 200th, 250th something, he composed a piece called Testament of Freedom. And a famous conductor, Leopold Stokowski, came to conduct it. And Rosie and I got to wait on tables for dinner for this composer. And it was in her house, which was not a big or fancy house. So we were all sort of jammed in, passing the plates. And I think Leonard Bernstein was there. I mean, it was,
wow.
It was amazing. And then we got front row seats, the two of us. So we were about your age. Give or take,
yeah.
Maybe a little older. And that was a fun time. We enjoyed cool. that.
Is there anything else you'd like to reflect on your about your life or any stories you would like to share?
Well, you know, I've had a fortunate life. And one of the things I realized today is I have an optimistic temperament. You know, I don't tend to get depressed. I can get annoyed. Mm-hmm. Or a little bit down, or, you know, worried about things, but not the way people are these days. And I feel lucky. I met my husband when I was probably 17. And I got married at 23. We didn't go out that whole time, but anyhow, I did get married at 23. And we've been married now 62 years, and
wow.
It's a good deal. You know, he's very, he's diminishing right now. You know, he can't walk, and he's sort of worn out. But he's still nice and sweet and kind, and So that was good, and the kids are good. And I wish that I had done more writing in a way, but what I did was fun, and I got rewarded for some of it.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's fun.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going